and welcome to Harvest Church Podcast. Harvest Church is based in sunny Durban, South Africa. We are a family of believers who are passionate about Jesus. We really hope this message inspires you today.
So I have a word for us this morning. It is a very simple word. But I think it's a word, as George said, that will challenge and just help us to grow in this season. So if we can have the first slide, I just want to read to you 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 9. It's about being a prosperous people. Who's ready to be a prosperous people? Good. We're on the same page. It says, "For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sake he became poor, so that you by his poverty might become rich." What is Paul saying here? How did Jesus become poor? Well, he laid aside his majesty. He counted not equality with God a thing to be grasped. He set all that aside. He humbled himself. He took on the form of a servant, and he became obedient even unto death, the death on the cross. And Paul is saying that Jesus did this. Jesus became poor for this purpose, that you might become rich. So Jesus died on the cross in order that you might become rich. And it sounds rather crass when you say it like that. We don't, it sounds a bit vulgar. We want it to be more spiritual, but that's actually what Paul says. And the gospel is very concerned with abundance. Is very concerned with prosperity. Jesus says, John 10:10, "I came that they might have life and that they might have it abundantly." Because the gospel was never meant to end with manna in the wilderness. That's never the end point of the gospel. The gospel doesn't end with water flowing out of the rock in a desert place. The focus of the gospel, the end point of the gospel, is always a promised land flowing with milk and honey. It's always a land of abundance. It's a place where there is no longer any need. That's what the good news of the gospel is about. That's the good news of the kingdom. Along the way, Jesus opens blind eyes. But the kingdom is not about blind eyes being opened. The kingdom is about there being no more blindness. Along the way, Jesus feeds the 5,000. But the kingdom, that's a sign of the kingdom. But the gospel is not about being able to multiply food. The gospel is about there being an abundance of food. Every man under his vine and under his fig tree. So I really feel a burden today to remind us that our goal, our vision, our dream is not of a miracle of deliverance in a difficult place. As wonderful as that is, the manna in the wilderness is amazing. And in this season when things are still tough, when people are still dying, when sickness is still a reality staring us in the face, when businesses are still struggling, I just want to exhort us to lift up our eyes and say, but there is still a promised land. It's not about survival. It's about a place God has for us to thrive. And it might not be tomorrow. It might not be next week. It might not even be this year. There might be more paths to walk through. But the promise of the gospel, the good news of the gospel for every single one of us is that he will wipe away every tear. And there will be no more need. There will only be abundance. That's the incredible good news of the gospel. So in this season, it's a really important thing to remember, so we don't get bogged down in the crisis that's right in front of us. But the but that I want to bring, and of course there has to be a but on this, because Otherwise, it is just a crass statement. The but is this, that prosperity is about a whole load more than random sense. It's about a whole load more than our possessions. It's about a whole load more than those things which we traditionally think of when we use the word prosperity. This business of relocating to another nation is really complicated. I don't recommend it to anybody unless you've got a lot of energy and a lot of determination. To switch nations when you're 25 is one thing. To switch nations when you're almost 65 is a whole other kettle of fish. It gets really complicated. So you have to sell your house, and you have to take the proceeds of that, and you have to deal with the Reserve Bank and the receiver, and you have to guard it as preciously as you can against every hand that wants to take some of it away, and you have to export it overseas, and then you want to reinvest it because it's what you've got to live on, and you end up dealing with so many different organizations and people. I sat down this last week, I made a list of people who owe me money. Institutions in South Africa. And this is me as an individual. It's not a business, it's just people that owe me money. And anything from 1,000 rand or two to literally hundreds of thousands of rand. And I'm conscious of this deadline approaching. And I'm trying to organize all this, and we fly a week on Thursday, and how is this all going to happen? And it will all happen, that's fine. You try getting money out of the municipality to try and get your deposit back. It's kind of not easy. They're not waiting there making it easy to hand you your money back that they know they owe you. They just want to take their time and make it complicated. So I'm pressuring people saying, hey, can we sort this out? Can we sort this out? And you meet this bureaucratic indifference. And they say yes and nothing happens. And in the middle of all this, you have to export your goods overseas, and the UK government wants a detailed inventory of everything in that container. 7 shirts. You know, 2 dinner services, whatever else is going in there, 15 cushions, and goodness me. And suddenly your life is reduced from all its richness and complexity down to a little spreadsheet with a few financial assets on it and a packing list for a container. And suddenly there's this kind of hourglass moment when everything boils down to that little thing. And in the stress of trying to protect this and express it and get it right, God speaks. And he says, Richard, a man's life does not consist in his possessions. Even when he has an abundance of them, even if he had an abundance of them, it doesn't consist in that. And it was such a release in the stress and the pressure of trying to manage all these things. So actually, it doesn't consist in that. But it provoked this thought within me. Well, if that is not my life, then let me make an inventory of what is my prosperity. If that isn't my prosperity, then what is? And sure, money, possessions, that's something. But the list goes on. And I started writing stuff down. And number 3 on my list was health, which is probably right up there in a whole lot of people's thinking right now. Health is a huge resource for me. It's a huge resource for every one of us. It is part of our prosperity. And the list goes on. And I have a marriage. I have a wife who has been the most incredible companion and lover and friend over 41 years. And that is a huge, huge resource in my life. I have a family of 3 daughters and 3 sons-in-law and 4 grandchildren. And I'm looking forward to enjoying that prosperity again in a greater measure. And there is community is a part of our prosperity. We are rich because of the people that God has placed around us. And for me, that's not a very prosperous area at the moment. after what happened to us church-wise, and then COVID, community has been very thin on the ground in my life. But I'm saying I want to reinvest in that area. I want to rebuild that sense of the richness of community in my life. But it struck me as I was making this list that we can be intentional in different degrees about these things. When it comes to money and possessions, we tend to be pretty intentional, all of us. So if 10,000 rand disappeared overnight from my bank account, I would probably be onto it. I think you would probably be onto it as well. And you'd want to know, where's it gone? What's it about? Who took it? Why? Who said they could? All those questions come up. If someone helps themselves to your car, you don't kind of shrug your shoulders and say, "Ah, well, it's one of those things, you know. Never mind, I'll get another one day." There's something of intentionality rises up within you to protect and to grow your prosperity in those areas. And you don't allow yourself to be robbed. But there's other areas of our life where we're much less intentional. Where we, maybe in terms of family, for example, stuff goes down and, well, family would be nice, but I don't know what really happened there, but we don't speak to each other anymore. And something has been robbed from us that we've not been intentional about growing and protecting in our life. So I want to talk today about three areas more of spiritual prosperity that God has for us, and really answer the question, how can we be intentional about becoming rich in these areas? So that's where we're going. It's a very simple message, not going to be long-winded, and I'm going to give you three very simple things to remember. All right, the less the better. So small is beautiful today. And the first thing I added into that list by way of spiritual prosperity is the presence of God. The presence of God is such an incredibly rich gift to us. I want to be rich in His presence. I want to be a person that His presence drips off. I want to be that person who walks into the room and people say, "Wow, it's like God arrived in this place." I want to be rich in that. So I'm just reminded years ago, I mean, my whole ministry, I've spoken of the presence of God. And there was one family in the church who had little kids, and they got very envious because Richard, oh, he's the guy that God gives presents to all the time because he always speaks about the presence of God. So no, not quite that, but he does give me gifts, but it's something else. But I want to be rich in God's presence in my life. Bill Johnson has taught us wonderfully that we live out of the presence of God. We don't live out of our human wisdom. We don't live out of our experience. We don't live out of a set of principles. We don't live out of good advice. We live out of His presence with us. And if I have failed to do that, if I have ended up living out of my own best plan, anybody had a good plan? And you live out of your good plan. If we do that, it's probably not because we disagree with Bill Johnson. It's probably because there isn't much of the presence of God left to live out of. Is that right? It's like we've scraped the barrel. And actually, I don't know what it means to live out of an empty barrel, so I'll just make my best plan. And somehow this is one of those areas we can become less intentional about. It's one of those areas we can just kind of accept, well, yeah, last week was really great, but I just don't know where God is this week. You know, but we kind of accept it. And we say, well, that's how life is. We have spiritual highs and lows and whatever else. But if our bank account was like that, we'd be worried. And I want to exhort us today to become a people who own the presence of God as part of our prosperity and say, this is not something I let go of lightly. David, Psalm 51, prays and says, "Cast me not away from your presence." That's his take not your Holy Spirit from me and cast me not away from your presence. That's the thing he hangs on to. So how do we do this? How do we grow our wealth in this area? Psalm 22 verse 3 says, "You are holy, enthroned on the praises of Israel." And you probably don't recognize that verse, but it's been translated traditionally in church context for many years as "the Lord inhabits the praises of his people." The Lord inhabits the praises of his people. So Bill Johnson says this, that our praise attracts his presence. So if I want to be somebody who is rich in the presence of God, then praise is the key that draws his presence into my environment. I think I would prefer to say that praise is the activity that gives us a mindset to recognize his presence with us, which has never left us. But suddenly through the act of praise, we become able to see spiritually that he really is with us in a way that we couldn't see otherwise. So here is a very, very simple thing to do. If we want to become rich in his presence, this is God with us, is simply make room for praise. Make room for praise. Make room for praise here on a Sunday morning. Our time isn't of worship isn't just a prelude, just a warm-up for the preach. It really is about being a people upon whom the presence of God rests. Make time for praise at home. Make time for praise around your dining table. Make time for praise in your car. Wherever it is, it's that time to pause and say, "O Lord God Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, my Redeemer, my Savior, the strength of my right hand, I bless you. I give honor to you. I acknowledge your greatness, your glory above all other, above the heavens. I worship you. I exalt your name. And I join my voice with heavenly hosts of angels in declaring your glory and your honor and your praise and your majesty and your rule and your authority over all things. And I declare that your goodness knows no end. I declare that your loving kindness is without any parallel, is without any comparison, and you are amazing." And suddenly I've become that person who's invited the presence of God into my environment. Point number one, very simple. Number two, what else do I want to be rich in? I want to be rich in spiritual authority. God's presence is God with me. Spiritual authority is God upon me. Who wants to grow in spiritual authority? You want to be that person who says, commands demons and they really do flee. I don't know if you've ever had the experience of commanding demons and they look at you and say, "Who are you?" So how do we grow? How do we be intentional about growing in spiritual authority? Matthew 10:1 says, "Jesus gave them authority over unclean spirits to cast them out and to heal every disease and affliction." I love that, every disease and affliction. There is no exception. Authority to heal every disease and affliction. The authority is something that we have already. It's already ours. There's no authority we could possibly need that we don't already have. Jesus said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go therefore in my name." And in that commission is wrapped up every ounce of authority that we could possibly need. But here is what happens, that it is human nature that we shrink back in the face of opposition. And when the demon says, "Who are you?" we take a step back. It's always easier not to assert the authority that's been given to us. We fail to use what we already have. When you encounter someone who is sick, if you're anything like me, there is a debate that goes on in your mind. Maybe if you're Todd White, maybe not. But if you're anybody else, there's this debate which says, should I offer to pray for them? Has anybody been there? Do I want to go there again? And it's easy to say, actually, nah, I won't. Maybe this isn't the time. Maybe this isn't the season. But if we want to grow in authority, the only way we're going to grow in authority is to use what has been given to us. And to become again a people who step out into the uncomfortable space and say, actually, I'm going to use what's been given to me. Can I pray for you? It's always easier not to give the word God has given us for somebody. It's always easier just to sit on it and say, well, maybe there'll be a more convenient time. There's never a convenient time to step out in the authority God has given us. And when the atmosphere is heavy, it's easy just to run away or duck our head down to survive. But actually, God has given us authority to rule over that. I think every one of us is probably in a place where we are not living in the full extent of the authority that we've known in the past. Do you remember there was that moment when you did something outrageous, when you stepped out and it was amazing? But actually today is not quite there. And as I said in the first service, I do feel for Harvest Church an exhortation in God to say, actually, it is time to reclaim some of the authority that you have known in the past. And it's not a criticism, because no one always lives forever at 100%. I totally get that. But it is time. This is the community that carried a prophetic authority that I think God is stirring up again. This is the community that hosted a conference out of which someone up the coast was raised from the dead. That's you. That's who you are. It's time actually to say, God, what you did then is part of our inheritance of authority. That's part of our prosperity. And I am not going to allow us to be robbed of that by my inertia, by my ease, by my comfort. But God, that is the testimony of us as a people, and do it again. Do it again, Lord Jesus, right here in our midst. So we use it. And the third area that I just want to speak of, the third area of prosperity, is love. So God's presence is God with me, God's authority is God upon me, love is God through me to other people. And I want to be rich in love. I want to be someone that God's love flows through incredibly richly. We're used to thinking of love as something we do. But Paul, 1 Corinthians 13, speaks of love as something we have. He says, if I have not love, I am a clanging gong or an empty cymbal. So how rich am I in love? How richly does love flow through my life? I want to be really rich in that. John, 1 John 4:19, simple key here, says we love because he first loved us. We love because he first loved us. And that is true historically. 2,000 years ago, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. And I am enabled to love today only because 2,000 years ago, Jesus showed greater love has no man than this. He laid down his life for his friends. And because of that, today I can love. But it's also true experientially. It's also true that today I can love because today he ministers his love to me. Romans 5, the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who is given to us. The Holy Spirit, the Spirit of adoption, comes upon us to affirm and assert the love of the Father into our hearts experientially, tangibly, in every possible way, and therefore we can love. We are enabled to love. Love really is a tank. It's really as simple as that. It's a crude picture, but it's totally true. And if I am struggling to love people, if I'm struggling to reach out the way I know I ought to, if I'm feeling condemned because there isn't that love in my heart, then I can guarantee you it is only because I have lost experiential touch with the love of the Father flowing into my life. And if I'm going to be prosperous in love, then there's a very, very simple key, which is I have to get connected and stay connected to the flow of the Father's love into my heart, into my life. It's as simple as that. So when the prodigal son was sitting in the pigsty, do you think the father loved him? Absolutely. Do you think he knew that the father loved him? I don't think he did. I don't think he did. He said, I will arise and go to my father's house in expectation of some economic help. He didn't expect to become a son again. Just thought, maybe he'll have a job for me. Let's try that. I don't think he was experientially, emotionally, in his heart, connected with the love of his father, which his father definitely had for him. But there was a key step to unlocking that. It was to say, I will arise and go to my father's house. It was as simple as that. I'm going to go home. And when he arrived home, suddenly what was unlocked to him was a ring on his finger and a cloak on his shoulders and sandals on his feet and a great big party thrown for him. And suddenly he was connected back into the father's love. He needed to go home. The son standing out in the field also needed to go home. Did the father love him? Absolutely. Did he experientially connect with the father's love? No. He was filled with resentment and anger and self-righteousness. And he needed to do what? He needed to go home. Because who knows, there might have been a ring for his finger too. And a cloak and a sandal, and he could have shared in the same fatted calf. The father loved him as he loved the prodigal son. But the resistance to going home isolated him from the love of father in his heart. So the intentionality is very simply go home. If you want to be rich in the love of God, if you want that to be part of your prosperity, then learn what it means to go home. Whatever pigsty you find yourself sitting in, and we all end up in the pigsty every now and then, whatever pigsty of guilt, of shame, of fear, of whatever else, it's time to say, I will arise and go to my father's house. And it doesn't make it easy, but it's a place of reconnecting with the love of the father. Whatever field we find ourselves standing in all on our own, lonely, resentful, unappreciated, unloved. It's time to say, I'm going to go home. Because home is the place where the love of the Father is released upon us. Now, I think very often as believers, we're like people who live in the middle of the Karoo and complain that it never rains. And actually, there's a very simple answer. You need to move to Durban. Because it rains in Durban. And we can be sitting in our pigsty, we can be out in the field complaining about how tough life is. And there's a very simple answer. Go home. And I desire profoundly to be rich in the love of God. I desire to be that person that the love of God flows through in abundance. But to do that, I need to know what it is to humble myself and what it is to go home. Two last scriptures, and then we're done. First of all, this is what has happened. I give thanks to my God always for you because of the grace of God that was given you in Christ Jesus, that in every way you were enriched in him, in every way. And I want to invite you to do a kind of a lifestyle, an inventory of your life. And say, okay, how have I been enriched? What are the areas where I need to be more intentional about the prosperity that he has for me? Where am I missing out? What are the holes? What are the gaps? What do I need to plug here? What do I need to sow to become rich in every way? Because that's his provision for me in Christ. And then the second one is the other angle on this, says you will be enriched in every way for all your generosity, which through us will produce thanksgiving to God. That's his promise. Through the cross, you have been made rich in every way. And experientially today, his intention is that you will be enriched in every way. Can I pray for us? We thank you, Heavenly Father, that your plans for us are nothing but abundance. Abundance in every single area of our lives. And Father, I pray for us that you would bring us to that place where we can honestly say we are experientially rich in every single way. I pray that you would enlarge us. I pray that you would cause us to prosper in all that we do. I pray prosperity upon our homes. I pray prosperity upon our marriages, upon our businesses, upon our education. I pray prosperity upon our relationships. I pray prosperity upon our marriages. I pray prosperity on our parenting. I pray prosperity on just being church here together. I pray that this would be a prosperous joining. I pray prosperity upon community in this place. I pray prosperity upon our outreach, that your rich hand of blessing would become evident upon that. I pray your prosperity upon ministry in this place. Lord, that the worship should become rich to an unimaginable degree in this place. Lord, that the preaching should be saturated with your presence. Oh Lord God, God of heaven and earth, God of all riches, we open our hearts to you. We come home to you. We take a hold of the authority that you've given us. And we say, would you multiply us? Would you prosper us? Would you cause us to step into a land flowing with your milk and your honey? According to your promise, in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 There is breaking of bread, communion on either side there. If you need to come home, maybe you're sitting here this morning and saying, actually, I need to arise and go to my Father's house. That's a really good place to do that. We can pray for you, but actually the act of coming home is between you and your Heavenly Father. So I would really suggest that's a great place to humble yourself before him and say, Father, I'm home. I'm sorry. I'm back again. I want to connect afresh with your love in my life.